Welcome to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Deb Pollack, President and CEO of Creative Washtenaw and your Creative Impact host. Thanks for tuning in to meet the artists and creatives with deep ties to Washtenaw County. It's time for the party. That is party with a little p and a little y with A-R-T, emphasize art. This is Creative Washtenaw's signature annual benefit celebrating remarkable talent and the medalists for arts, sciences, and humanities, essentially our county's Hall of Fame for the Arts. Mark your calendars for September 30th at Washtenaw Community College. Creative Washtenaw is presenting four medals this year, one to Ron Brooks, the mayor of Ann Arbor Jazz, is the Lifetime Achievement Medalist. The Igniters Medal goes to a dynamic couple, Jim Fleming, the founder of Fleming Artist, and Alani Kalakos, also known as the Speaker Whisperer. Between them both, they have enhanced the careers of many touring musicians and public speakers across the world. Mike Farah, CEO of Funny or Die, is one of two outstanding service medalists. And then, well, I'm humbled to say that Creative Washtenaw's board is marking my retirement with a similar award. As we lead up to September 30th, we will meet them all. Today, we start with the Lifetime Achievement Medal that recognizes outstanding and sustained artistic accomplishments worthy of national or international acclaim. Ron Brooks is here in the studio. It's great to have you with us, and congratulations on your award.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, this is such a familiar ground for you, so it's great to have you here. So you are a transplant to Ann Arbor, but yeah, as a very young man, you were in Illinois, I believe, and then came to Ann Arbor?
I was born in Chicago, yeah, Cook County Hospital, where the infant mortality rate was 50%.
What? That's crazy.
I'm lucky to be here.
Yes, I guess so. That's amazing. That just took me off track. That's amazing. How did you find the instrument of choice that you have in your music? That is the bass that you play and the jazz that you love. How did you get introduced to that?
Wow. Let's see. When I was little, I wanted to be a singer.
Okay.
Because my mother used to sing to me when I was a small child. So I sang in glee clubs, choruses, and choirs. And I remember I looked in a store window and there was a guitar. And so I went in and got the guitar and was strumming along. And I would go to a dime store and buy the sheet music. And it would tell you where to put your fingers. And that's how I kind of strummed the guitar and learned a little bit so that I could accompany myself.
And did you follow that up with, with lessons as a young man?
I had two guitar lessons, but that was about it. But it was all about wanting to sing because my mother sang. And then one time at a fraternity house, there was a bass sitting in the corner. And I kind of walked over and picked it up. And thought, wait a minute, the bottom four strings of the guitar are the same as the bass. And I picked it up and started playing, and that was the beginning of my bass
love
playing.
Love with that instrument.
Yeah.
So was that fraternity here at Eastern? Because I know you studied here.
That was actually in Ann Arbor, and I met up with some guys who were just beginning to learn to play, but Rick Burgess, and he was on that gig, and I picked it up and sort of struggled through it, and that was the beginning of my bass playing career.
Well, you must have picked it up pretty quickly, because I understand that while you were in college, you were part of a jazz competition that caught the eye of, or the ear, of Quincy Jones.
Well, what happened was I learned to play about jam sessions, and in Ann Arbor at that time, there were a couple of places where guys would get together to jam and kind of learn how to play, and there was a guy there by the name of Bob James.
Right, sure.
And we played together a few times, and then so he applied to be a competition or competitor at the Notre Dame Intercollegiate Jazz Festival. Quincy Jones was one of the judges at that time, and he liked what we did, and he signed us to Mercury Records.
Oh, that's remarkable. And I also understand, is it true that you toured with the Duke Ellington Orchestra in Europe?
Well, not really.
It's one of those myths.
I did have the fortune of meeting up with a guy named Danny Spencer, who was a great drummer and a good friend of mine. And we decided we would run off to Europe. So we went to Europe, and while we were there in Paris, there was the genius, you know. And so I got to meet him, and we chatted back and forth. So it was an honor.
I have to imagine that it was. And obviously had some influence on you as you went on to start your own jazz band and club. This is 89.1 WEMU's Creative Impact, and I am here with jazz musician Ron Brooks, who will receive Creative Washtenaw's Medal for Lifetime Achievement at the party on September 30th. So speaking of that club that you started, the Bird of Paradise, which was in here in Ann Arbor and was really one of the leading jazz clubs in the country for over 20 years. So many great names played there, and you introduced these musicians and their music to so many audience members. Why a jazz club? Why did you decide to start that?
That's a good question. I always wanted to surround myself with inspiring musicians, you know, people that would share some of their experiences and share their music with me and with the community, which responded much, much more than I expected it to. Just a great place to learn how to play and also to share your and share other people's experience with them. So it was wonderful. And
you literally had all the greats here. And you said Bob James, but, you know, there's Marcus Belgrave. There's so many, not only just from southeastern Michigan, but from across the country and the world. And folks could look at, you know, the playlist of who's been at the Bird or who was at the Bird. Was there anybody that you ever wished that you did get to come to the club that you still sometimes maybe pine to connect with?
Well, I can remember when Ray Brown came and he sat at the front of the table, and I had to announce that God was in the house tonight. No, Ray was just such a marvelous guy. And he was married to Ella Fitzgerald at that particular point.
Oh, wow.
So that was sort of like, and I also have Jim Fleming to thank, because he was one of the people that got Dizzy Gillespie to become interested in and come to the Bird of Paradise. So
that's so great. In fact, I just talked to Jim this morning, and he said to say hello. Uh-huh. And we'll be honoring him this year as well. You know, the jazz club was fabulous. You influenced lots of folks. But you also continued in other ways to spread the word about jazz. And as a founder of the Southeastern Michigan Jazz Association, I think you started that about in the mid-'80s. It's known as SEMJA. You hear that a lot here in WEMU. And it promotes jazz appreciation, performance, and education. Can you tell us a little bit about the importance of SEMJA's education programs in the schools?
Wow. One of the things that was very obvious to me was that there were a lot of aspiring young musicians. They were college students, but they're also people in the community, you know. And a club is part of the community. And I couldn't have come to a better place than Ann Arbor to start something, because there were just heaps and hobs of great people, potential, you know, and that was a venue that allowed me to give them an opportunity to see some of the great musicians and inspire them. And they inspired me, too. So I have one background story to mention.
Sure.
The big impediment at the beginning was the liquor license. And there were a couple, Larry Hunter and a few other people. And there were, because of a reapportionment of number of licenses in Ann Arbor at the time, there was a big political to-do about who's going to get the next license. There were six, and five people got theirs, and I was number six.
So oh, wow.
I got the liquor license, and that was the biggie to help get the Bird of Paradise off the ground.
A little liquor, a little jazz. Yeah. Awesome. So you're still regularly performing. And you're also still working. What a lot of people might not know about you is that you work and have worked for the Dispute Resolution Center for many years,
right.
And you're still doing that.
Well, music was a way of expressing myself. It wasn't quite enough to make a living, so I had to come up with something. So I opened an outpatient psychiatric clinic, clinic with therapists and whatever. I got my master's at Michigan here in counseling, and opened a psychiatric clinic. And part of that was being aware of conflicts. And so I tried to figure out, how can I be helpful to help people solve problems? And so mediation was my game, and so I became a mediator and a trainer of mediation.
I somehow see that that has an influence on your music, and your music has an influence on that work, too. Legacy is really what comes to mind, Ron. You know, whenever I chat with other jazz musicians in the neighborhood, like Pete Sears or Paul Keller, and your name comes up, they literally always say, Ron Brooks is one of the most important people in my life. That's your legacy. And I know they speak for many, many others. Congratulations on being our Lifetime Achievement Medalist, and we look forward to celebrating with you later this month.
Thank you. Thank you, Ann Arbor. Thank you, Michigan, for being such a wonderful place to be a place where young people can be exposed to great musicians, and they can reach their own personal musical and otherwise potentials.
And so much of that is in large part because of you. That is jazz musician Ron Brooks, who will receive Creative Washtenaw's Medal for Lifetime Achievement at the party on September 30th. Find out more about Ron and the party at WEMU.org. You've been listening to Creative Impact. I'm Deb Pollack, President and CEO of Creative Washtenaw, and your host, Matt Hobson, is our producer. Please join us every Tuesday to meet the people who make Washtenaw creative. This is 89.1 WEMU FM, Ypsilanti Public Radio from Eastern Michigan University.